cruise ship mentality, and I am convinced as I speak to people across the planet, friends of mine that lead churches all over the place, all churches struggle with this, but not Grace Life. Amen. A cruise ship mentality where I come to be entertained. And if my cabin is too small, I'm going to complain. If it's too hot, I'm going to complain. If the food at the smorgasbord is not nice, I'm going to complain. If the entertainment and the bands playing are bad, I'm going to complain to the captain. Amen. And it's always the captain that gets it in the ear. See, that's a cruise ship mentality. See, a battleship mentality is different. A battleship mentality, every person on the battleship has a job, and they're all focused on the mission. It's the mission that is the most important part. That battleship is there for one reason, to advance the mission of whoever's sending that battleship out. Not so. And every man or woman on that battleship follows a specific set of orders. Does the captain, is he following what's supposed to be followed? Do all the lieutenants and corporals, or however it works in the Navy, I was in the Navy, but however it works, are they all following what they should be doing? Every deckhand, are they doing what they should be doing? And someone is overseeing and making sure that everybody walks and goes according to the mission. Who's with me? And that's why when we sit and we're chatting to each other and we're eating the lamb together, remember I said that a few weeks ago? We're eating the lamb. We're not too worried about trying to correct each other's behavior. We want to eat the lamb together and let the lamb bring the correction. Amen. But the lamb will speak through your mouth, even if you're a donkey. Amen. So the lamb is going to push us into the mission, because Jesus came to the planet for a reason. There's a reason why. And he's gone into heaven. He sent the Spirit, his Spirit down to you and I, but we still have what we have and do what we do for a reason. Amen. The worst thing you could ever do is just come to church on a Sunday, because that's what Christians do. That's not the mission of God. No one goes and sits on the battleship and just sits there and goes, well, I'm here, I'm doing my job. I'm just sitting on a deck chair and enjoying the sun. You'd be kicked off very quickly. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to kick you out of the church or kick you out of the body of Christ, no matter where you slide, because he loves you and you belong to him. But he's always going to be pulling you to go to greater degrees of glory. Paul tells us the goal for the believer is to go from glory to glory, not from glory to gory. Amen. And if we love our brothers and sisters, we're going to help them move from one place of glory to the next. Who's with me? So last week we spoke about motivation and mission. Remember that? The mission being make disciples of every nation, teaching them to obey. Interesting. Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So you think, you know, who's a teacher here in the body of Christ? You know, put your hand up if you feel like you're a teacher. Now, people are going, I'm not putting my hand up, Craig. Because you go, well, I'm not a teacher. You must be Craig. You must be the teacher, one of the guys in the front. Jesus is speaking to the church, and he says, go into all the world and teach. So you can teach the next person right behind you whatever you learned this Sunday. But with religiosity, what's happening is we've shown the church, actually, it's the leaders up here are the gurus, and you just come to listen and listen to them as entertainment. And the Lord demands nothing of you as long as you're a Christian and you come to church every Sunday. That is the worst possible thing. And I want to apologize and say this. I felt God correct me during the week about this. I said last week, I think I said it here in this meeting, that if you come to Grace Life and come to church on a Sunday, you're not going to get a naughty bag from the naughty badge from me. And I felt God say, that's not very fair, Craig. Would you give a naughty badge to the first time guest? Yes, we actually give them a little pack and the free coffee. Okay, what about the second time guest? Yes. They got a gift waiting for them when they come back after the third time. What about the regular tenders? What do they get? The least you can give them is a naughty badge. What about the members? The least you can give them is a naughty badge. Amen. So I want to say, I'm sorry. I want to give you all a naughty badge. Welcome and well done for being here. Amen. But really, it's just the first step in what we're doing, because we want to be what God's called us to be. So, two thoughts that inform our method. Remember this, as I said this last week, that often we in the church, we preach about Jesus' message, what he was saying to people, what he said, and the words he communicated, the red letters. The red letters. Maybe that song. No. I'll stick to my day job. The red letters. Jesus' words. But actually, Jesus had a method. Did you know that? There's a method to what you do. There's a method to what Jesus did on the earth. And I'm going to show you the method just now. And there's two things that actually that determine our method, or two kind of talking points around the method. The first one, of course, is go into all the world and make disciples. So I've got to go, okay, Lord, your method has to be attached to that. So chair number four is disciple making disciple makers. Amen? That's the ultimate goal. Remember I said last week, we can speed up the coming of Jesus. Who wants to do that? Well, then you've got a job to do. There's only two people who put their hands up. Stage six is not that much fun. So who wants to speed up the coming of Jesus? Oh, everyone, all of us. So the point is, though, is that you can do something to speed that up. And that something is following the method, not just the message. Doing what Jesus did. Matter of fact, Jesus says, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, or follow me, some translations say. That word follow is the word imitates, or however you say in the Greek. It means to mimic. I don't laugh at you. Well, never to your face, because you're like 7 feet tall. That word is to mimic. So what Jesus, so Paul says, mimic me as I mimic Jesus. You know, there was a method to Paul's movements. Paul did stuff. Do you know that? He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, but he also did things. There was a specific way. He says to Timothy, Timothy, what you've seen in me, put into practice. He also says, what you've seen in me and you've heard from me, you teach to faithful men who are qualified to teach others. The qualified means they believe in Jesus. Amen. Oh, they've gone to varsity. No, not many of the disciples that Jesus called were clever guys. They were like fishermen, and they weren't learned people. Can I have that picture up, please, Natasha, just quickly, if you don't mind? So two thoughts that are helpful when we think of the method. One is make disciples. The second part of that. Okay, I just lost everybody. They're just all looking up there. The second part is this. Is Jesus knows where you are. He knows where you are. Okay, there's 4 chairs here. There's 5 things there. Okay, but I'll get to that just now. He knows where each one of us is. And he's okay with our sometimes a little meandering. Some people, a lot of meandering. Amen. As long as you don't meander backwards. As long as you're always meandering forwards. You know, we're doing this, but not going back. Amen. And so he's happy in grace to continue to pull us forward. But the goal is always to be mature. That's my good side, is that side, Jess? Just a big joke. That was a joke. Okay. I've done weddings before. The photographer will come and say, sorry, do you mind if I take pictures? I said, just get my good side. And they're like, yeah, from behind. So take a look at that. The discipleship process, chair number one, you could say this, is must be born again. Can you see that? That is spiritually dead on this side. So don't worry too much about the numbers, because it correlates here. The cross is Jesus. You've got to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. Amen? Chair number two here, there you'd say you have a baby. Can you see that? Needs guidance. See number one? Self-focused. So I don't know about you, but I've got teenage children. Very self-focused. When you ask them, please, can you pack the dishes away? Ooh, hold on now. I've got some stuff to do. I've got YouTube videos to watch. I've got games to play. Amen. Everything revolves around them. Have you met Christians like that? Paul says in Hebrews 6, by now you ought to be teachers. By now you ought to be here. But actual fact, someone has to teach you all over again. You're still a baby. He says, but you ought to be, it's an indictment, friends, not an encouragement. You ought to be teachers. He says in Corinthians, he says, because of your squabbling and your divisions among you, the drama, and the backbiting. He says, I can't address you as spiritual. I have to address you as mere infants in Christ. There are some churches where the leadership are squabbling. And I go, my God, they're all influenced in Christ. How are they even leading that church? They should just close that thing down and start again somewhere else with someone else. Something is wrong there. When we become mature, we should handle any kind of squabble or any kind of immature in Christ. Who's with me? Any kind of issues. We don't go and start fighting and like, have you seen when one child takes another child's toy away? Amen. So he says, I need to address you. I want to address you as spiritual, but I've got to address you as infants because you're still babies in Christ by your behavior. So self-focus. Look at number two, self-focus. Number three, kingdom focus. So I'm a worker. I'm a kingdom. I'm focused on the kingdom of God. I'm happy to do things in the kingdom of God. Who's with me? I'm happy to do things for God. But look at that. Number four is disciple maker. No longer am I just happy to do things in the kingdom to help where help is needed, but actually I am discipling somebody. Now you're beginning to grow up. So I said last week, who's got children in the natural here? Do you have children in the spiritual? Amen. Now, Craig, geez, like, I feel so condemned. You know, I'm 50 years old. I've got grandkids. I've never done anything to the church and help raise up any. Okay, don't be condemned. Abraham was 100 years old when he had a child. So just because you're older doesn't mean you can't start. Amen. You start somewhere. Don't just look back and go, well, it's over for me. No, it's not. Caleb took his mountain at 80 years old. With the Spirit of God in you, you can do a lot of stuff. Amen. Especially disciple someone who needs to be discipled. And then, of course, number five there, or the fourth chair here, is disciple makers who make disciples. So they've got grandchildren. Look, so number four is disciple maker. They've got a child. Number five, they've got grandchildren. Their spiritual children are producing children. Who's the grandfather and a grandmother here? Do you have grandchildren in the kingdom? Your grandchildren in the kingdom, your children in the kingdom are producing children. Who's with me? That is the goal of Christianity, by the way. Not to come to church. Church can't save you. Do you know that? Church cannot save you. Only Jesus can. But this is incredibly important because we need each other. Iron sharpens iron. And the deeper I go in with you, I know someone the other day, something happened and there's an issue in the relationship and you go, well, in order to be hurt, you have to love. Love by virtue of what it is risky. If I stay close to you, I can't, there's no, you're not going to hurt me, but the problem is I can't love you. So Jesus puts out his hand and is willing to be hurt by you because he loves you. Amen. That's what love is. Love is risk. Amen. Some people come into the church, and excuse my language here, but they have condoms over their hearts to protect themselves because they've been hurt, trauma from a child or from an ex-marriage or from whatever's gone on. Someone in the church has hurt them and they just closed off. You cannot love like that. Love is open. Love is, I love you, so therefore you can hurt me. Amen? And that's where we end up here. I love. But when we love as Jesus loves, let me tell you, he will do in you what you cannot do. Who wants to glorify the Lord here? Yes, all of us. So John 15 says, my Father is glorified and honored by this, when you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to my disciples. Jesus likened bearing fruit to multiplying. So he says when something bears fruit, it means it produces after its own kind. Amen? We've got Sean who's leading the worship or heading up the worship here. He's got leading the team. In order for him to multiply, what must he do? He raises up other worship leaders. If you're an eldership, what's your mission? To raise up other elders. If you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus, what's your mission? To raise up other believers. And the further down the road you go, and whatever you're doing, God calls you to just produce after your kind. Amen? And it's like that in the natural. A dog doesn't give birth to a cat. In the spiritual, it's the same thing. I will give birth to myself. or it's myself. I will give birth to who I am. Amen. And that's why what we say and what we do have to line up. In Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Not consider what they say, because what I say and what I do, if they're two different things, it's not helpful. Who's with me? People don't catch what you say, they catch who you are. That one is for free. Called to bear fruits. Amen. So, the four chairs. I'm going to say something to you. Maybe if you didn't hear this preached from the Discipleship Sunday last year, then you wouldn't know this. But each chair here is a challenge from Jesus. So the question you got to ask yourself, and that's what it says on the graphic, which chair are you in? So you ask yourself, which chair am I in? Remember, this is the goal of the kingdom of God, that we bear much fruit, that we go and make disciples, not go to church. But you can't have one without the other. But some people do. Amen. I want to make disciples, but don't be connected to a community of people. No, they go hand in hand. Because Paul never writes to a single person. Matter of fact, every letter that Paul wrote was written to a group of people, a local church. Amen. So they go hand in hand together. There's a connection point. So chair number one is come and see. Or the seeker. Listen to this. John 1:35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And we know he says, who takes away the sin of the world. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Interesting. John the disciple has two disciples. And John and Andrew. John, who becomes a disciple of Jesus. But John the Baptist has these two disciples that, and when they see Jesus and he says, look, the Lamb of God, they leave John the Baptist and follow Jesus, the Messiah. Interesting, there's no inference here that John the Baptist got very upset because his two disciples left to follow that guy. And you, my guys, and it's just, you know, now you're bailing on me. No, they're following Jesus. Amen? When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed him. Verse 38, turning around, Jesus saw them following and said, hey guys, can I help you? Jesus asked, what do you want? Now, that's interesting. Jesus is like, what do you want? Amen. I think we have a very skewed perception of what a shepherd is, interestingly enough. Now, a shepherd is loving and kind, but a shepherd is also what do you want? He says to Paul when he knocks him off his horse, he says, now get up and stand on your feet. Hey, can't you at least say, please, bro? Now get up and stand on your feet. This is Jesus speaking. Okay, Lord. What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So Jesus invites them onto a journey, but here they are. He says, come onto this chair. Love days, friends. As I said last year, I love days. I love days. We're not going, let's take a look at our diaries and see how we can jam people up. We're all busy, but it's strategic to go, we want to bring people to this place. So they see people from Grace Life on the streets doing some cleaning, some sweeping, some cutting, some whatever it is. They're talking, they're chatting. There's some signboards out there. And people drive past and go, hey, what is that? Oh, it's a local church. Oh, Grace Life. And we put in their hearts, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Because when they're here, much quicker to get them here through the cross. Amen? It's strategic. I want to encourage you. Come and join us so that we can have a louder voice. Remember, hope is not a strategy. So we can pray, Lord, we just pray for the bluff and we pray, God, that you get people saved and get to know you. The rough bluff is full of alcoholism and drug addiction and gangsterism, Lord. We pray for the bluff and the Lord says, okay, thanks for that. Now I'm going to use you to answer your prayers. No, hold on. Whoa. I've got shopping to do on a Saturday morning. I've got to cut my grass and wash my car. Amen. Some of my friends who lead churches, we're talking about our connection cards and what we do with all that stuff. And we have a great chats around that. And a lot of people don't do. And I say to them, we pray and say, God, will you bring us more people? Will you bring us? And the Lord says to you, says to them, what are you doing with the people I bring you? Because until you're faithful with those guys, I'm not going to bring you more. Amen. So, it is an invitation to Andrew and John, who was assumed to be the second disciple, to come and see. This challenge, remember, it's a challenge from Jesus. This challenge gives us insight into how Jesus developed his initial relationships with several of his early disciples. Andrew and John were spiritual seekers who were engaged with the ministry of John the Baptist. The Greek word translated come literally means to show up. See, all we want them to, friends, is to just show up. Just come and show up here. Just come and show up here. Amen? I'm going to let you into a secret. A first-time guest. If you're a first-time guest this morning, please close your ears. The goal is to get you to come back and again and again. And after you've come back three times, chances are you'll end up staying. Now, what do we do after you three times? Thanks, now you stay, now we carry on. No, that's why we got the growth track. The growth track is for you to come and start to be discipled, to go from chair to chair, because you have a destiny and we have a destiny. And our destiny is linked with you to encounter God and to make disciples so that we do this together. Amen. And we're grateful that you're here, but we ask that in 6 months' time, you are fully part of what we're doing. You are heading along in the chairs and helping us bring more first-time guests. Who's with me? Oh, wow, so we can fill this place up. Yes, so that people can hear the gospel. And we have a much bigger punch with a much bigger fist to empty the kingdom of Satan. Who's with me? And we're just faithful what we have, because maybe in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years' time, some of us are not in this hall, we've moved out, but we were faithful what we did on the 20-something of January 2025. February. Who's with me? Summer's almost over. How's that? All right. So it's a challenge. So number two, they come and see. We challenge them to come here. Chair two, that's the new believer. That's the follow me. So come and see, follow me. John 1:40, it's completely wrong. The next day Jesus decided, is it right up there? No. John 1:4343. Try and find that. It's in the second Bible, the other one. Part two. I don't know what that is. I think it's 4:43. John 1:43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Finding Philip, he said, follow me. Matthew 9. As Jesus went out from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. The word translated follow is the Greek word akoleteo, and it means to come behind, to follow in my steps, join me in my discipleship journey. This challenge, remember, each one is a challenge. So don't be afraid when you're sitting with someone and they challenge you to a greater degree of glory. Paul says we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That is a challenge. Sometimes we think leaders are being controlling. You're just trying to control me. No, I'm not trying to control you. I'm trying to challenge you from one degree of glory to the next. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be faithful to what I'm saying. Remember, we're not politicians. We'd be nice to you so you stay. I speak all what you want to hear so that you remain my constituency and keep me in power. That's not what Jesus does. He's very happy to speak straight to you, to offend you, that you even leave him. But he won't stop speaking the truth. Amen. Often people will speak and they don't like to hear what they're hearing, and so they can't get rid of you, so they leave. That's okay. You just keep on doing what God's called you to do. Amen. This challenge is a call to a deeper level of discipling. It demands a learning process of walking in the steps of the master. That's why I say we got to eat the lamb together. When I'm sitting with someone, when you're sitting with someone, say to the leaders, when you're sitting in your husband and wife, when you're sitting with your wife and you're sitting with someone, you're not trying to correct their behavior behind them. Hey, listen, we got to eat the lamb together. Now, we're all growing in this. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, because it's not easy. You need the Spirit of God to lead you. Amen? That's what these times are for, that you hear. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not by having heard last month. The hearing is a continuous hearing. But we eat the lamb together, and the lamb will challenge our status quo, because that's what Jesus does. He challenges your status quo. He is the greatest leader who ever lived. In number 8, so we'll spend next week just looking at chair 1, and then every week at each chair, and then 7 is barriers between chairs and sticking points, number 8. What stops us from moving from chair to chair? We'll spend a whole Sunday talking about that. But we got to remember, Jesus will always challenge us to go from glory to glory. And he's happy if we're taking smaller steps, as long as you're not going backwards. Paul said, I press on towards the goal. I press on. I don't go backwards. I don't fall backwards. I just keep moving forward. Amen? Who's with me? Now, there's no condemnation for those in Christ. If you've fallen backwards, say, Craig, I backslid. It's okay. Jesus still loves you. He's got his hand out for you. The door to the Father's house is always open. But we have to change our minds and go back. He's not going to run and grab you by your scruff and drag you back, because he's a gentleman and he's not controlling. Who's with me? It paints a picture of becoming like the one we are following, allowing him to lead us. It demands that we walk as he walked, love as he loved, do what he did, serve as he served. It is a challenge to be a learner. And that's what the word disciple means. He's going to be challenging us and pulling us from one degree of glory to the next. That's why discipleship is so important, my friends. And oftentimes, you sit with someone and you say, let's meet up. Actually, it should be coming from us looking forward, going, are you able to meet with me? Can I meet with you and talk to you? No, I'm way too busy for you. I don't have time for you. Okay, then I find the next person. No, sorry. Okay, and I find the next person. Oh, no, I've got a Grace Life. No one wants to meet up with you. No, you just keep going until someone will meet up with you. Remember the early days of Grace Life? We only had about 10 people. So when someone left, it's like 1/10 of the church. One, you know. And I remember a guy that was on our worship team with me. It was only 3 of us. I led worship. He was on something and she was on something. And this guy came to the worship. He didn't really hang out with the community. Whenever we had meetings, he wasn't there. And I'd sometimes talk to him and say, hey, we want to pull you into what we're doing. And then I'd see him and we'd rehearse a bit and I'd talk to him. And then the one day he's not around. And about 2 months later, I speak to someone. They say, oh, no, they spoke to you. He said, no, people don't love you in that church. I'm like, bro, don't ever let me see you. No, I didn't say that. Because you know I'll call Clint. I said to myself, you reap what you sow. You didn't love anyone. So you're only getting what you're giving. You come in and love. Don't worry about what people are doing. You come and be Jesus and just love on people. You will eventually begin to reap that same love back. Amen? But if you come in close, don't want to talk to anyone, then chances are people are going to go like, hey, they don't know how to read you. Amen? Anyway, number 3. So challenge number 1 to challenge number 2. So now come and see. I get born again. I'm a new believer. I'm still a baby. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? What does he say? Yes, I do. Wonderful. Go to church on a Sunday. Did he say that? No. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my lambs. Feed my babies. Oh, that's obviously for the leaders, Craig. No, it's for all of us to feed the lambs of God. Amen. Number 1, it presupposes that you're actually part of the community. You know, I'm a Christian. I don't go to church. Oh, good luck with that. How do you outwork the words of Jesus when you don't even connect with the body of Christ anywhere? Who remembers Jeffrey Dahmer? So I'm running out of time here. See, Ryan? Remember Jeffrey Dahmer had all the guys' heads in his fridge. Hey, I love Jesus, Craig, but the church I don't connect with. Oh, so you love the head, not the body. That was Jeffrey Dahmer. Didn't work out so well for him. Amen. Imagine someone comes up to me and says, Craig, Mr. Glenn, you better call me Mr. Glenn if you want my daughter. And he says, listen, I want to marry Jasmine. Okay. I just want to say she has the most beautiful face and hair I've ever seen in my life. Well, thank you very much. Takes after her mom. But her body, like, I don't know if I like it so much. Like, I just don't like her body at all. Like, I love her head, but her body is not nice. But what father is going to go, oh, Moth, that's fine. You're like, why, bro? I've got a baseball bat at the back there. Amen. Because you got to take the one or the other. It's the head and the body. And we are the bride of Christ. He is the head. You got to love everything together. Who's with me? And I want to say, if you're part of Grace Life, but you're still connected to other churches because, well, that's my community, you've got a problem. Because this is your community. You've got to choose one or the other. That's one vision. This is the vision. If you go to both, it's our vision. Amen. Oh, we got something happening on Saturday. Love Day. Oh, but they got the bra. Ooh, where do I go? Bro, choose one and throw yourself in there. Amen. Oh, that's very controlling. No, that's what Jesus would do. How do you know? Because I just know. Okay, number a worker. See, so that's the third. I've run out of Ryan. Help me, bro. You help me with everything else. Help me with that. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and he cast in the net and he said, "Come, follow me. I'll make you fish. I'll help you fish for people." It comes as a surprise as to many people to learn that the events recorded in Mark 1 took place at least 18 months into Jesus' ministry. In these verses, Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee when he calls to Simon and Andrew. I know I'm talking fast. "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." This, friends, is the goal of chair number 3, is to make you a fish for men. Interestingly, he doesn't say, "Follow me and one day you will decide too." He says, "Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." Sometimes Jesus wants to make you something. The problem is we resist that making, go, "No one controls me." Amen. I make myself when I feel like it. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He asks me very nicely, and sometimes I say no, to lie down beside still waters. No, he makes me lie down. Who wants to be made to lie down here? None of us. Because we go, "Nah, no one controls me." Sometimes we have to allow, and I want to tell you, friends, I'm going to jump straight to point 4 here so Grant can finish his notes. In Acts 26, Paul gets knocked off his horse. He says, "Who is it? Who is this? Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting." Then he says a whole lot of things. I want to do a preach on this someday. He says a whole lot of things. And at the end he goes, halfway through he says, "I will rescue you from your own countrymen and from the Gentiles." In other words, if you follow my mission, Paul, and you do what I'm calling you to do, I'm commissioning you and I've got a job for you to do, to serve what I'm calling you to do, which was from darkness to light, the kingdom of Satan to God. That's what Jesus says. He says, "I will rescue you from these people," because there are going to be people and situations and things in your life that will try and undermine that, and the Lord will rescue them from them all. But here's another thing. He will send people to rescue you from you. Because there's some things in us that will come up against the call and the challenge of God, and you need friends who have gone ahead of you to pull inside and say, "That is unhelpful for you." Jesus wants to rescue you sometimes from your own thoughts, because he has a great destiny for you, and sometimes we undermine our own destiny through our own immaturity. Who's with me? Number 4, quickly, you got another 30 seconds on you. Remember, it's intentional challenges. One chair, two chair, I will make you. He calls us. So I said, part of the graph is, which chair are you in? Sitting there this morning, which chair are you in? And then you go, am I helping others? If I'm in chair 3, am I helping someone to go from chair 2 to chair 1 or chair 1 to chair 2? Number 4, disciple maker. John 20, "Peace be with you," Jesus says. "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. What you've seen in me, you do." Just like that, Jesus moves his disciples from chair 3 to chair 4. I've just bounced across some stuff as I've run out of time. They are ready to go out and bear fruit as they employ what they've learned from relationship with Jesus. So the end of the day, friends, Jesus leaves and he sends his spirit into his people. And he says, "Now I'm calling you to be in this chair, to be a grandfather, to produce disciple makers who make disciples." Why? Because that's how we speed the coming of Christ. Jesus said the end will come when we've gone into all the world and preached the gospel. Who's going to do that? Oh, it's the front row. No. It's all of us. But we got to be mature, being able to hear God and walk the road that he calls us to walk. Who's with me? And friends, when the church rises up to become who she's called to become, she will go into all this world and impact this world like never before. And I really believe, why don't we stand together? I believe the time has come and the Lord is speaking. You can look across the planet. There's some things going on that are unbelievable. Good and bad. We got to read the times, friends. The Lord is calling us to stop doing church, but to be the church and to pull people, challenge them from chair to chair, and being allowed for us to be challenged at the same time. Help me, God, to grow. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, that your heart, you don't challenge to make us feel bad or to condemn, because you have said through your servant Paul that there is no condemnation for those in Christ. But you challenge us, Lord, because you understand the destiny for your church is great, but it's every one of us that is called to be the net to go into this world and do what you call us. Not just the gurus from the front row, every single person, Father. Help us be a church that carries the glory of God, first starting with our families, into this community and beyond, Lord. We want to do this because we love God, we love people, and we want to see people walk in their destiny. I pray for every man and woman here, Lord, this morning, under the sound of my voice, that they would stand tall and say, bring it on. I want to go to where God's called me to go. In Jesus' name, amen.